This is Exploit Talk Radio. We're in Washington, D.C. for ShmooCon 2006. Today, we're coming to you from the ShmooC Base Camp, where preparations are well underway for this year's ShmooCon. We'll have more on ShmooCon later in the podcast. This is Exploit Talk Radio. Let's talk about Windows Metafiles. I'm not convinced WMF is a particularly good idea, but it's part of Windows graphics world, and like a depressing number of other Windows features with debatable architectural characteristics, someone went and found a vulnerability in Windows Metafiles. So we hear about this WMF vulnerability, and then someone writes an exploit. No surprise there, it seems to be the normal course of human events these days. But this time, not only do we have the usual hand-wringing while the world waits to see if the internet's going to melt, we have the people over at Sans deciding it's their duty in life to play Chicken Little. First, they tell us about the problem. Okay, that's fine. Then they go and publish a patch, themselves. All by themselves, no Microsoft involvement. Now, whatever you may think of Microsoft, they are the vendor, not Sans. And they, Microsoft, should be the ones issuing patches. This is like some witch doctor out in the countryside cooking up their own cure for disease and then claiming on the internet that they have the cure that everyone should use. It's dangerous. Might work for some people, but it's a fundamentally unsound idea to be using rogue patches in production environments. Add to this the fact that Sans managed to let the muzzle slip on the ISC handlers, and they published a few rants that were kind of over the line. And why? Because Sans decided, unilaterally, that they had the right to treat this as a big deal. I mean, it's bad enough if Homeland Security or the UN or somebody legitimate declared this a big problem, but Sans is just a training company after all, people. They're not even a legitimate security organization. I think that in this case we really should let Microsoft do their own thing and deal with it. And Microsoft has dealt with it in their own way, and not too shabby either, at least by Microsoft standards. They've published a patch, they tested it, they did all the things they should have done. I think Alan Power has been watching a few too many Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, or maybe they're out to register InternetRambo.net. Our advertiser of the day is a license plate frame I saw the other day. I'm driving along in my car, and I see somebody with a license plate that says 1-800-MadeInJapan.com. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they thought you were going to do with this. I mean, that doesn't actually work out to a domain name, and where are the dots and the dashes, for one thing. For another thing, I'm sitting in my car reading this, so I'm going to call this on my cell phone if I were to call it, and so it's not worthwhile to have it as an 800 number. I think people just are trying to say, well, gee, if it has a .com at the end, we can start panting an awful lot. So I think it doesn't actually come out as a terribly useful product name or company name. Our advertiser of the day is a license plate frame I saw the other day. I'm driving along in my car, and I see somebody with a license plate that says 1-800-MadeInJapan.com. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they thought you were going to do with this. I mean, that doesn't actually work out to a domain name, and where are the dots and the dashes, for one thing. For another thing, I'm sitting in my car reading this, so I'm going to call this on my cell phone if I were to call it, and so it's not worthwhile to have it as an 800 number. I think people just are trying to say, well, gee, if it has a .com at the end, we can start panting an awful lot. So I think it doesn't actually come out as a terribly useful product name or company name. Okay, ShmooCon 2006. It's again sold out this year. Some folks are getting a bit wound up about this, but hey, they said they'd had a fixed number of tickets, and they sold them out. And that's how it worked last year, so it's not like this is news that they work this way. In case you haven't heard of it, ShmooCon's a hacker conference held in Washington, D.C. You know, it's a hacker conference because it happens on the weekend and people show up in T-shirts. Otherwise, it's basically a security conference. There are selected talks, it's presentations, it's got three tracks. It's quite well attended by members of the security community, and it's in Washington, D.C., so as they point out in their cheeky style, it's conveniently reachable by your usual three-letter agencies. The talks are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Over the next few days, we'll describe who's speaking. Today, we're going to talk about the keynote speakers. Friday, the keynote speaker is Dan Geer, who actually has been around for a while. He's the one who did Kerberos back when he was at MIT working on Project Athena, which is where X-Windows and all that stuff came from. Later, he was at Open Market, where he did web server security work, and he was at Stake. He was the CTO of Stake until he wrote a paper talking about Microsoft and genetic diversity and security issues, and apparently that made too much sense, so now he's not at Stake anymore. He's at Vertisys, which does content access policy enforcement. Anyway, the keynote on day two is Jennifer Granick. She's sort of the Johnny Cochran of Internet hackers. She was Michael Lynn's, did some legal work for Michael Lynn, who was the guy who did the found the Cisco stuff this summer. She's actually at the Center for Internet Society at Stanford University. She's a law professor. That's it for today's episode. Tomorrow we'll be back with more Exploit Talk Radio.